Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That is our NFL insider, Mike Florio, ranting about Brandon Ayuk and everything that went down with him, from unfollowing the 49ers on social media, all the social media profiles he's done with San Francisco. He divorced them on social media. There was a report that he demanded a trade. His agent said that's not true. The odds makers apparently don't care because they have the Steelers as the favorite. They have the Steelers as the team that Brandon Ayuk is most likely to suit up for in week one of 2024.
And we have to at least give the odds makers some credence because they said that the Steelers were the favorite to land both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, something that seemed probably impossible at the time and ended up actually being correct. I've noticed as I've thought about like these social media breakups, a lot more effective in a real relationship than in one with player and team, right? If you were to suddenly unfollow Amanda, scrub all mentions from her, from your Twitter bio or anything else,
Go on.
Because that's the only site you used. It would get results from her. She'd go, what gives? You calling divorce attorneys? Now when guys do this, Pickens did it.
Yep, he did.
I roll my eyes at it. I do. This is a sign that I am turning into an old fart at 39. I roll my eyes at this stuff.
I think it's childish. But I think Florio's point is right. It's the passive-aggressive way in 2024 to tell someone that you're unhappy with them and you want to break things off. That's what they do. They don't do the
formal... And by break things off, you would like to either break things off or just give me a new contract that has a lot of money in it, guaranteed.
I think Ayuk is under the impression that he's not getting one. I think that's why he's doing this, because of what happened with the other two players they gave money to. They gave Bosa the big contract right before the Steelers game in week one last year. And they paid Deebo Samuel. And I get it. They've got Brock Purdy on the cheapest quarterback deal imaginable because he was the last pick in the draft. But they also have a lot of good players there like George Kittle that they've paid. Mm-hmm. I think Ayuk sees the writing on the wall there. He must have been informed by the 49ers that to give him the kind of deal that he wants is just almost impossible there in a salary cap sport. Like, for example, what Philadelphia did today with Devontae Smith, giving him that extension that is going to pay him more than $25 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Just not in the cards for him there. And he doesn't want to play for the $14 million that he's owed.
He wants security. He wants long-term security.
And I think he's rightly under the impression that he's not going to get it for the 49ers. So what is his recourse at this point? I guess he doesn't want the outward appearance that he's disgruntled and unhappy and giving them a hard time. So he's going to shoot down any rumor of him asking for a trade.
Does he go with the 49ers back in his profile in the next 24 hours? We also know that Okay, he did an even more passive thing. When people told him he looked like Mike Tomlin just with long hair, he put the eyeball emoji out. He tweeted for the first time in a year.
I thought that was a public flirtation. That was a sign.
They can flirt all they want.
Hey, come get me. I want to play for you.
It's a prohibitive asking price in terms of what you'd have to give up draft capital wise and what you'd have to pay him. It's a prohibitive ask.
Which
for me.
One is the bigger hurdle for you? What you'd have
it's
to
actually
give up
the
dra- or what you'd
it's
have
actually
to pay
the draft capital for me, believe it or not. Because right now they're paying their quarterbacks dirt. I know that they have to figure out what they're going to do with Fields, but they have the flexibility in that sense. I don't want to give up the 20th pick for a guy that right off the jump I have to pay big money to. I would rather take my chances that A, Pickens blossoms, and B, I draft a receiver who complements Pickens well, probably with one of my with my second pick in this draft. That just that feels to me like a more sound strategy. And I say that as somebody that thinks Ayuk is very good, but is he 20th pick in the draft and what, $25 million a year good? Who's a better receiver, him or Devontae Smith, by the way?
Ayuk.
He would want, it would stand to reason, more money than that,
yep.
Then, right?
I think he's going to want close to $30
million
a year.
Okay, so say $28 million. So, like, basically what you're paying Watt, and yep. I know that, I know number go up every year. You don't have to explain to me why that is.
Salary cap go up, up,
well, yes,
up,
up. But when I said number, I meant cap, yes. Line go up. Brr. I get it. You're not paying him the same as you're paying Watt, saying he's the same, like, level of player, but that number is still what it is. I don't want to do that. I think he's a very good player. There is one receiver in the league where if you just told me you can bring him in from the outside, I will sign right now to pay him $30 million. But it's a guy who's going to cost, what, two firsts? Justin Jefferson's the only guy that I would do that for. I think Chase is unbelievable, but he would even be a stretch to have to pay the draft cost and then the financial cost. It's just, it's tough when you put picks in there, Pony. It's very tough.
Because with a first-round pick,
part of the appeal is that they're cheap for a while.
But it's not only that, it's how much runway they have to be a good player for you. You're getting somebody in their early 20s and you're hoping that you're going to get 8-9 years out of the guy, maybe more. You're going to get a second contract where the player is still in his prime. This is Ayuk's second contract. So I get the reservations on your part to not want to trade the 20th pick. The Steelers have not exactly shot 100% with these first-round picks. Kenny was the 20th pick. Najee Harris was the 24th pick. They picked Edmonds in the 20s. They initially had the 20th pick and then traded up to get Devin Bush and gave up more draft assets and took him 10th overall. So, like, yes, there is always the idea that they screw up the pick.
Although that's previous regime every time.
Thank you. I was waiting for that.
I was trying to cover for Donnie till he got it over there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was previous regime.
I can't just say, well, it was previous regime and slough that off. Like, I would understand the argument you're making, but I do think it's sort of a clean slate and you can only judge starting with last year's
draft. Bigger reason why I would not want to trade the 20th pick for Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as I want to believe these quarterback trades are going to work, and you should do what you can to surround Russell Wilson and Justin Fields with the best players possible, I also don't think they're close enough where I would want to trade my first round pick for a player and then give him a ton of money because I looked at him as my missing piece. If I were the Bills and I had Josh Allen as my quarterback,
in a heartbeat,
I would make a move like this. But I'm still uncertain at the quarterback position, even though I feel better about it. And I don't want to trade a potential great young player who's a question mark because we don't know who the guy is yet and how it will translate to the NFL for someone that I'm going to have to give a lot of money to right off the bat. Now, if the price were to fall like it did on the quarterbacks they traded for and I can get Brandon Ayuk for the 51st pick, I would do that.
Well, that's a different story because then it's really money that's the object. If you're getting a very premium player that you'll have for hopefully 8 to 10 years, two contracts like you just said, 51st is a lot different than 20th. It just is. It is, but I think your quarterback point there is, I'm glad you brought it up because it's something that I had been thinking about with this discussion is the room looks better than it did at the end of last year, but like better is a matter of degree.
They just don't feel like a team yet where I'm mortgaging. I'm not doing deficit spending and things like that because I'm hell-bent on winning.
Well, they're a team in transition right now is what they are, I think, aren't they? The only way you'd feel like you're only in hellbent mode with them if Justin Fields ends up winning the job this year and looks like he has unlocked something, yes? Then you immediately jump into, okay, now we are in serious contender mode.
Yeah.
I guess with Wilson, if he was great, but still.
But as I say all this, I'm also trying to wrestle with the idea that we haven't seen them win a playoff game since 2016 and treating the Steelers like they're this long-term project that eventually it's going to work, but it doesn't have to work right now. That is a troublesome. I understand if you're the steward of the organization, the GM, and Tomlin by extension is too because he's never getting fired and he's always looking at the bigger picture. Like you're not going to make rash decisions. But it is a little bit frustrating that I'm saying all this. The prudent thing to do is to not give up something for tomorrow because you're trying to add a great player for today when they haven't given me anything lately to really celebrate.
Wouldn't it be, well, this is not a perfect analogy, but if I were going to try to talk you off the ledge and convince you that the louder voice in your head is still the correct one, I would say, not that the Pirates were building at this point, but the Pirates weren't a team that was a serious threat, and then they gave up assets for Chris Archer. And now, granted, in his case, he didn't perform. We assume Aiyuk would perform. But, like, the acquisition cost probably wasn't worth it even then. It was a team that, like, had caught lightning in a bottle for 2 weeks in July.
Donnie, how old's Aiyuk? Can you look that up for me?
He just turned 26.
He just turned 26. So, if he just turned 26, let's say he's got four more great years in him. Let's give him 26, 27, 28, 29. I'm not going to guarantee the 30s.
Okay.
So that's four great years of Brandon Aiyuk.
Mm-hmm.
Is paying him like a number one receiver for 4 years, is that worth trading Amarius Mims for?
No.
Or Jackson Powers Johnson, where you can have an offensive lineman who you think can be a Pro Bowl offensive lineman for double the amount of time.
No.
Here's for like 8 years.
Here's another question I will bring up again about Aiyuk.
Right, because what's Mims, 23? Or is he even younger than that? Is he 22?
I think he's a true junior. I think Mims might be 21.
21? What's Powers Johnson? He was at Oregon longer.
Amarius Mims won't be 22 until the start, like 6 weeks into the season.
Powers Johnson is 21.
Wow. He started playing college football when he was 16?
So these January of 03.
So these are really young guys.
So no, it's not worth it. And then the other reason I was going to tell you it doesn't strike me as worth it is to bring up, it was going to be bringing up another question about Aiyuk. We talk about it with quarterbacks in that system. How much of what he's been able to do, particularly the last 2 years when he's had big numbers, especially this past year when he had huge numbers, is a byproduct of the system he's playing in and a lot of the talent that's around him.
I think a good amount of it.
That is probably beyond the first argument I made, which is just don't want to give up the pick and pay all that money if it's the 20th pick. That's my other big argument. For example, just to use this guy because we just saw the Steelers trade him away. If you get a healthy Deontay Johnson and you drop him into San Francisco's system, he's probably putting up big, big numbers, even if he has a couple drops here and there. You know why? He's probably running free on plays and then catching the ball in the move.
For as much as I don't like the guy, other than the touchdowns that Aiyuk had last year, 7, I think he could do 1,300 yards on 75 catches, which is the
number. Deontay?
In San Francisco's offense.
Yes.
I do.
Okay, so that's the point I'm trying to make. Also, Aiyuk, here's one other weird number. This is another number that just supports what I'm saying here. There's a stat that Pro Football Reference has for him. It's called yards before catch per reception.
Yards before catch.
So, like, how far down the field is he catching the ball?
Gotcha.
Almost 13 last year. After it had never been higher than 8.5 the first 3 years. So he was catching these deep routes. He was also getting good yards after the catch.
Yeah, we watched him own Patrick Peterson.
The guy
was
running deep, deep routes, catching the ball, and then still having a good run after it. I think there is a lot of system-dependent stuff here. I think he's a very good receiver. I don't think he's elite. And I would not give up and then have to pay elite receiver money and give up a premium pick for that player.
So unless you have Patrick Mahomes, you need to have in an offense like San Francisco's, you have all these elite playmakers. You have Christian McCaffrey, the best, by numbers last year, the best non-quarterback offensive player in the entire league. You have Samuels, jack of all trades. You have Aiyuk, excellent receiver. You have George Kittle. You have Trent Williams. You have all of these great players on the offensive side of the ball.
You have a weird Swiss Army knife fullback, for God's sake.
You have a coach who's looked at as one of the best play callers in all of football. How many of those things do we have here? What do we have? That's the other compelling argument. I know, like...
Of the Steelers' main offensive weapons. So go top two backs, top two wide receivers last year, we'll just say. Or you can say this year, and tight end, right? How many of them get significant run on San Francisco and are better than the guys in San Francisco? Pickens is going to get into that lineup, and that's about it, for sure. Is Najee getting in over McCaffrey? No. Is Warren getting a ton of run over McCaffrey? Also no. Is Freiermuth playing over Kittle? Definitely not. I love Broderick Jones, but if he were hypothetically your left tackle last year, he ain't starting over Trent Williams.
He could have played right tackle.
Though. Right, and he would have been an improvement. Okay, so Jones and Pickens, right?
Maybe one of their guards could have played. I don't know. It's just...
But you see my point.
The point I was going to make is you're trying to assemble an offense because you don't have a great quarterback yet where you've got everything else locked down. You've got really good players at every position. And I just struggle to find... You know, the more I'm not just saying this because I was at the guy's wedding this past weekend, but one of the things Nick Wright said on FS1 lately that has resonated with me is, look at their weapons. How many good weapons do they have? Pickens has the potential, but we've yet to see him put it together for a full season. The bang for your buck, the play, when he got the ball, he made big plays. The Steelers just couldn't get him the ball consistently. Part of that was the offense sucking, the quarterbacks not being good. I think the other part is Pickens just sometimes is in la-la land and play-to-play is not locked in, knows he's not going to get the ball, doesn't go 100%, gives up on plays like...
Although he was a lot more locked in when he was getting the ball regularly
yeah,
at the
still,
end of the
I
year.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they played a game at the end of the year where he didn't make a play the whole entire game against Baltimore.
Well, they also didn't target him, so it's kind of hard to make a play.
But why is that happening?
Well, so, I think in that one it was because it was in a slush pit, but...
Okay. But still, your running backs, I think Warren has potential to be a lead back, but they won't do that. And Najee was just good enough to fend him off last year.
They don't, other than
Freiermuth's been hurt too much.
Other than
never,
Pickens, they don't have an elite weapon is really the answer here.
But I think you could even debate him, Chris.
He led the league in yards per reception on a team that had, for the majority of the year, very bad
quarterback If they convened the entire league and they said, new rule, every wide receiver is going to be drafted. They're all available. We can draft wide receivers. He's not a top 20 pick.
I think he is. I think one of those quarterbacks absolutely is like, oh, bring him to me? Yes, I will take that guy. I do. And I think it's one of those situations where if you placed him with one of the five or six best quarterbacks in the league, you would see a completely different
version. You think he'd get picked ahead of Ayuk or Samuel?
I think he'd get picked ahead of Ayuk, yes.
No way. Donnie, can you defend me on that? I mean, I understand he was in a system, but that's just so disrespectful to actual production to say that Pickens is... I don't think there's...
Pickens played in the Steelers' offense, and he had like 200 fewer receiving yards than Ayuk last year. That's it.
Chris, he completely quits sometimes. He goes whole games where he does nothing.
What does it say then that Ayuk, who presumably goes hard all the time, again, 200 more receiving yards and two more touchdowns in a way better system?
I know. I can't.
Basically the same number of targets.
So let me get this straight. If you think if Pickens was a free agent right now, he'd get $25 to $30 million a year?
Ooh, I think there's a very...
No way.
He's younger, too.
Yes,
no way. There's a better chance because he's younger.
So wait a minute. You think if we put him on the trade market, we could get a first-round pick for him potentially?
I think a team would absolutely consider it.
I disagree with that 100%.
Based on what? His character issue?
Deontay Johnson is a productive receiver.
Who's also how old?
27?
Pickens is 20. Just finished his age 22 season. He just turned 23.
I'm sorry. I don't think he's... He's got the potential to be a top five wide receiver in the league. I don't think he's one of the top 20 receivers in football right now.
I don't think we can value judge him based on where he would stand in that ranking because of what quarterbacks he played with here.
Donnie, chime in on this quickly.
He played with some of the worst quarterbacks in football for the last 2 years.
He did. I would take Ayuk over Pickens, though, straight up. I mean, if it's just a debate between those two, I mean, because you can – make the argument about, well, here's the cruddy quarterback play he was dealing with. But Pickens was also, in some cases, like the only option for those guys to go to with the football. I know that the target numbers look similar anyway, but there are so many other guys in that 49ers offense that get worked in there.
But isn't that an argument
doesn't get thought about nearly enough. He's one of the most complete wide receivers in the game.
But isn't that an argument for Pickens that he was catching footballs in a more difficult environment because every defense was keying on him?
Well, sure, but I mean at the same time, like he's the only option in the Steelers offense. Like obviously his numbers are going to look
but he's
going to
be double
better.
Covered on every play if he's the only passing option. Ayuk you have to literally pick your poison, which would make his job a lot easier. Beat the man in front of you. Oh, by the way, the play is set up that you should beat the guy in front of you because it's a brilliant play design. Meanwhile, here's Matt Canada having been handed a kid's menu who drew something in crayon. I'm just saying.
It didn't really matter some of the times because the ball was just airmailed over his head. I'm picking Ayuk over George Pickens.
Man, I would take Pickens.
Do you think Pickens is better than Amari Cooper right now?
Not right now, but it's close. I think Cooper is one of the most underrated receivers in football. Despite being already very good and well compensated, I think Cooper is as slick as it gets.
See, I feel like the way you feel about Cooper is the way I feel about Ayuk.
He was a second-team All-Pro wide receiver last year, Chris.
I'm aware. I'm aware. I think Cooper is better than him, and I think Pickens is better than him.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.